All right, man, I'm late. How's everybody doing this morning? It's a good day. You know what? It's a great day. It's fun. I got some special company here I'll talk about later. But I'm having a great day, and yet it's a stressful day. I'm going to preach kind of a different message. For some of you that's been with me over the 33 years I've been here, I've never preached a message like this. How many of you remember what's called hell, fire, and brimstone preaching? There's not many of you. Some of you guys are going, what in the world is that, right? Well, it's real simple. It's a message that says this. Turn, all right? Take your pick. All right? Now, that's not my style, but I remember, and as I was writing the message, I heard my grandfather preach one time. And it was hell, fire, and brimstone. Some of you might know what I'm talking. He just got up there, and either you're going to turn to Jesus or you're going to die. You know, and when you die, you go to hell. Well, see, my vision of church and what I want when you walk through these doors, and my prayer is every week I have these four E's in my mind. I want you to walk through those, you enter this church, and you encounter God. And I want it to be an experience in your life that you experience, not only encounter, but that you experience him. And that you're encouraged, maybe to encourage to accept him, to turn your life over him, to change something in your life, to mold or transform your life in some way. And that you're encouraged, and that you walked out excited because something's happened in your life. So those are the four E's that I look for in my message. And this morning, it's a little bit different because I want to talk about the devil. And I'm not the devil, okay, just to let you know. Some of you guys are going, we've seen you. We're not so sure, right? You know? So I want to talk about the devil. So just so you know, I invited the devil to be here. He can't come. All right? There's a problem. Too many of you guys have joined me, and we're praying. You need to know, I walk around this building every Sunday. And I pray a wall around this building, and Satan can't get in, all right? So he couldn't get here, all right? So what I've been able to do, though, is I got a hookup. And so we're gonna connect with this devil, and I want to have a little interview with him and just kind of ask him some questions. So let's see if we can make some connection here and see if we can get a hold of the devil. All right. Mr. Devil, are you there? Yeah, let's not go there. I hope you don't ever get a chance to get in this place. But I do have some questions I'd like to ask you. You know, I think some people here would like to have some information on you. So, Mr. Devil, can I? You have some time for me this morning?
Yes.
What right do you have for me to call you Your Majesty? Well, I can understand some of that, but I reserve honor and names like Your Majesty for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why could I call you that? Wait a minute. Is a name that I could use that you would prefer? I notice as I look on the screen here, as in this connection, that all I see is a bunch of black smoke and a microphone. There's no picture. Where you at? Oh, you mentioned your efforts. That's kind of what I want to follow up on this week, the next few weeks. Now, I kind of want to know what your goals, what your dreams are, maybe a little background information of, well, how you got started and what do you want to accomplish and where do you want to move our world and why are you so active in the world? And I have a lot of questions that I'd like to ask you. And why don't we just kind of start with some background information? Yeah, I've seen those tools. I've heard of some of them. I've had some experiences with that. But I'm sad to hear that. But why don't we try to get together next week, and I'll look over this resume, and we'll try to get together next week. What do you think? All right. Ah, you don't count on that. I'm going to keep praying. All right, well, I see I got your resume here, so we'll say that, see you late next week. Is that all right? All right. Next week, man. I got his resume. I get, you know, I don't know about you guys, but from the stories I hear from some of you and some of the things I read on Facebook, he's getting pretty good at it, you know? He's pretty effective at it. I want to kind of talk about the devil. I want us to kind of think about the devil this morning from this perspective of who he is. What's his qualifications? What's his objective? What's his goal? What's his experiences? I want us to take a few minutes to this morning to get ready for the devil. Here's this passage. If you got your outline, let me encourage you to get your outline out of your worship folder. You can follow along. There's some blanks to fill in. Because this passage says this, 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, some of you this morning are going to question this message. You're going to go, I just don't really believe there's a devil. You know, there's people that, you know, zombies are real, right? Come on. You know, zombies are real and, you know, all that kind of weird things in the TV. But the devil, because see, I want to tell you, I believe there's a real personality, that there's a real being called the devil. And I'm sure some of you are going, it's just our world. You know, it's poverty, it's starvation, it's sex trafficking, it's just the world. Yeah. But then there's some of you, you see the devil every time you turn around, right? You know, it's just the devil's just out to get you. And around every corner, every place you turn, you see the devil. Yeah, there's all sorts, but I believe there's a devil, and I believe he's prowling around, looking for those who he can devour. I believe some of us experience him on the way to church. Come on now. Don't sit there so innocent. You ever get in the car with your kids or your spouse and have some fun conversations on the way to church? Come on now. Don't act like you're all innocent. You know, I'm the preacher and I've done it, all right? You know, that's why I leave the house at 7 in the morning. I leave the kids and the women and I walk on to church. I don't worry about the discussion on the way. You know, we're late, let's go. You know, the kids got dressed and they got dirty again. You know, see, the devil's real. He's there and he wants to attack. But I believe we have kind of been complacent. We kind of just kind of cruise along knowing he's there, but he's got that little red tights on, and isn't he so cute with his little pitchfork? You know, got those little nice little horns. You know, and we don't treat the devil as seriously as we should. And I want us to think about that this morning. And I want us to think about it. Now, I like what Paul says. I think Paul has this great warning here. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and they were having some problems in the church. You know, so maybe the devil got into theirs. He's not going to get into this one, okay? Keep praying, all right? We don't want him in here. But he seemed to got into that church in Corinth, and they were having some problems forgiving others. And here Paul writes this as he's discussing and encouraging. He says this, I have done this so that you may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. And so my goal this morning is so that I don't want you to be ignorant of the devil's schemes, that he is real, that he wants to take you out, that he wants to use and manipulate, that he is after us. But I also don't want us to be looking around every corner and see us. There he is. You know, matter of fact, he's sitting next to me. Don't look around, but, you know. Yeah. But how do we deal with this? So I thought the best way to do it, look at his resume. You know, and so I got his resume here. And just like that picture, he wouldn't show his picture. Well, he doesn't show his picture in his resume either. You know. And so as I looked at this, you know, when you get a resume, you know, it's got all this contact information. And how do you get a hold? Do you know there's almost 20 names? He lists all sorts of names here. He's talking about Satan, the devil, serpent, dragon. He's got all these names, the accuser. I like father of lies. Anybody ever had the father of lies come at you? A deceiver, he destroyer. He's got all these names. I see why he takes Lucifer. Matter of fact, I looked up Lucifer in the Bible to kind of see what it was. And here's what it says in there. How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning star? How down to the ground, mighty though you were against the nations of this world. He's playing it here. The book of Isaiah. He's using a earthly image for Satan, for this king of Babylon. See, Satan was an angel. Satan dwelled in heaven. If you look at that, matter of fact, that name Lucifer means morning star. That's a nice name for him. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want anybody calling me Beelzebub. Anybody want to be Beelzebub? You know, Beelzebub. I'll pass on that. And we have all these names. Most of those names are really negative. Father of lies. Please, but he has Lucifer. I can see why he gave me that name. I'm the father of light. I'm the morning light. And he has this. But it says he was there in heaven. I want to make sure you understand. I believe there's a devil. I believe there are demons. There is an unseen world around us in which the devil exists. And I believe there's angels to protect us. And devil has his army called demons to tempt us. And he's that morning, bright morning star. He's living. He had access to God. He had walked there in the heavens. He was with God. Here's this picture he's painting of who he is. I'm Lucifer. I was there. But I want to make sure you understand something. Write this down somewhere. He does not have the power of God. He's not a God. All right? He has a lot of power. Next week, I'm going to talk about Satan rules, okay? Let me give you a little hint for next week's message. Satan rules, but God has the authority, okay? That's next week. See, Satan is not all-powerful. Satan is all-knowing. He is not all-knowing. Satan is not everywhere present. He doesn't have those abilities. That is not Satan. We don't fear Satan because he knows everything. He's everywhere. No, he's not. That's not Satan. That's God. But he was with God, and he does have power, and he is able to work. And that's who Satan works, and how he lives, and how he's managed. Maybe the best thing to do is paint a picture, is to look at him working. And I thought that maybe the best story to look at when Jesus starts his work, and when the devil starts his work, is to start with the Garden of Eden. Anybody familiar with the story? The Garden of Eden. God created this big, beautiful world, placed Adam and Eve in the midst of all the beauty. This is yours, everything here. Just don't do one thing. One thing. Can you just get one thing right? Now, can you see God? Can you guys just please get one thing right? Just one thing. And then here comes the serpent. It says, and the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree, the garden? See how he's already twisting, turning the word, playing on their mind. He's already out there doing this. He's that serpent. He's that deceiver. He's that one that's out there. But I want to make sure you get this picture of him. And like that verse I read early in 1 Peter, he's a roaring lion roaming the world. He's not everywhere in the world. He's roaming the world looking to me. But I don't want people to just kind of run and hide from the devil. So I wrote it this way. If you look at your outline, I wrote, you don't have to go looking for the devil. You have to watch out for him. All right? You don't have to go look for the devil. You need to watch out. Let me give you a little hint. The devil's not all present, all powerful, but he never sleeps. All right? I think most of us go to bed at night, right? Anybody here not go to bed at night? I think most of us go to bed. Well, guess what? The devil does not go to bed. He doesn't go to sleep. You know what he does when you go to sleep? Tomorrow morning, where can I start out? They're going to get up at 6:29, and I'm going to do this. He's always planning. He's always scheming. He's always looking for his opportunities, watching for those weak moments. He's always there. So you don't go look for the devil. Don't go around and look for the devil. I have people do that. They look in the news. They look at work. They look in the church, and they're looking for the, quit looking for the devil and just start watching out for the devil. Does that make sense? You know, watch out for him. He's preparing for you. He's looking for you. You don't have to go looking for him. I did not have to go looking for the devil this morning. You need to know that. You know, I walked here from my house. He was all along that road out there on Covert, trying to get me to do stupid stuff, plant different thoughts in my mind. Anybody ever have different thoughts in your mind? You know, I don't have to go looking for him. He's looking for me. Don't give him an opportunity. Watch out. The second thing I look at is I looked at a resume. I want to know, well, what are the qualifications? You know, as I looked at his resume and I was kind of looking at what he said here, he says, many years of planning, scheming, plotting the successful fall of mankind. Highly skilled in the temptation, lying, and condemnation. Yeah, that's his qualifications. That's who he is. I look at what it says, scripture from Ezekiel. I appointed you to be the anointed guardian angel. You had access to the holy mountain of God. You walked among the stones of fire. He's saying, you were there. You had all this power. You had all this. He's saying, look at me. I have power. I have abilities. I have skills. I can do my job well. How many can testify that Satan can do his job well? You know, don't raise your hand. You don't want anybody to see it, right? You know? Satan is good at what he does. After he's there, that's what I go back to when I look again at that passage that we read earlier in Genesis. Serpent was more crafty. Circle that. He was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did you really say that? Did you really say that? See, back in that garden, he's saying, I can handle this. I've got this. And the devil can attack, and he's qualified. He sneaks around. He serpents around. Just so you know, I dealt with the serpent this... Wait. I dealt with the snake this week. I'm sitting at home, having lunch. My phone rings. My daughter calls crying. Dad, you got to get over. There's a snake at my door. There's a snake at my door. Some snake had crawled and was crawling into her house around the corner over here by the middle school. And she called, so I had to go over there and catch a snake. So I dealt with the serpent, all right? You know, so they're real, all right? They're real. And it was trying to sneak. I'm going to tell you, you start poking a snake with a stick. You notice I didn't pick it up. Don't handle serpents, okay? You know, so I tuck a stick, and I was tucking the stick, trying to push him into a bucket, you know, because I didn't know what kind of snake it was, and I text the, we used to have a middle school teacher that had a reptile club. So I text her, I Facebooked her a picture of it and said, I don't know what it was, but you taught me well because she used me to hold snakes. And I sent it to her. Snakes are real, just like the serpent, okay? And they're sneaky. That thing was trying to crawl into the house. It had crawled up to the front door and it was trying to crawl into her house. It was caught in the screen door. She thought she killed it because it was kind of halfway out. You can't kill the serpent, just so you know. You ain't going to kill the devil. Don't get in a fight with him. That's a warning, all right? Don't poke him with a stick, all right? It don't help the situation to fight the devil and to poke him with a stick. It's not going to work. All right? And so I had to put that in the bucket. We took it to the field and threw it out in the middle of the field over there. So he's going to have a lot of food over there. Hopefully he won't come back. But we need to understand there's a serpent out there. The devil's out there. He's sneaking around. He's crawling around. He's hunting for... And he has skills. He has abilities. He can move around. And so we need to get ready. We need to watch out for him, to prepare for him. So if you look at your outline, I wrote it this way. Don't have to worry about the devil. You need to prepare for battle. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Don't get all nervous about it. Prepare for the battle. Now, there's a scripture I should have read first, and some of you will recognize this. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can fight against the devil's evil tricks. And it goes on. Anybody familiar with the full armor of God? The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, you know, the belt of truth, feet. We need to prepare for battle. Now, I'm going to talk about that preparation in the next point, some things you can do to prepare for battle. But you need to prepare. Don't worry. Don't watch for the devil. I mean, watch out for him. Don't worry about the devil. Prepare for him. Am I making sense? Is that, can you understand? Because he's real. He's hunting you. I guarantee you walk out that door for you. I've told you many times, on Sunday afternoons when I leave church, guess who drives? Laura drives. Because I guarantee you, if you put me behind the steering wheel of the car and those that wrote me, you know what happens to me. You know, there's moronic drivers out there. You know? And we're going to go up to Washington. And you know, I'm going to tell you again, that fast lane, that number one lane, the speed limit sign says 65. That means that one's 75, okay? You know? 65 is the first lane. You know? And when you're out there, I'll get aggravated. Maybe you guys are smiling because you know you do too. You know? Now, what should I do? Lord, forgive me, right? Because the devil uses that stuff. Because yeah. You know what the devil does? He puts what I call a road monitor in the freeway. Who somebody says, the speed limit's 65, I'm in the fast lane, and I'm going 60. That's your tough luck. Anybody have those people in front of you? See, that's the devil. But then I realized one day, I was coming out of the mountains up by Highway 50. We were coming out of Loon Lake and up in that area, we were coming down that mountain, and I had a guy in front of me going slow. He had a trailer and he's going real slow. Whew. That wasn't Satan. That one was God. Because we got down to Highway 50 and up the road just a little ways was a head-on collision. Instead of me getting mad at that guy, I was thanking God for that guy. Because that might have been me. I don't know. Maybe God was protecting me. You ever think about those kind of things? Or is that just me? You know, it's like, come on, I want to get, you know. And see, Satan's real. He's skillful. Are you prepared for battle? Are you ready? Because he's going to come after you. I tell you, I do. I turn the Christian radio. I get in my car and I push that button that says, K-Love, right? Anybody push K-Love? You know, I push K-Love. I want to listen to K-Love. I've shared with you my grandma Diffentorm when I was living with her during the summers. I always remember we'd get in the truck and we're going to go down the hill just to get the mail, which was down the hill. Or we're going to go to the store. We get in the truck. Hey, I wasn't in church then. Grandma's crazy. You know, when you're 14, what do you want to do when you're 14 and you're a boy? Give me the steering wheel. I'll drive, Grandma. You know, nope, we got to pray first. Every time we got in that truck, we're going to pray. You know, I don't do that as much as I should when I get behind the steering wheel. Because I need to prepare for battle. Driving's a battle for me. Where's your battle? Anybody know where your battle is? Anybody knows where your struggle is? We all have them. Somebody at work? Something on the internet? Facebook? Ooh. Text messaging? We all have those battles. Are you prepared? Satan's going to, he's crafty. He knows. He knows where your weakness is. He knows how to get you. So don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to be prepared for it. Can you do that? How about the next one as I look at, what's his objective? What does Satan want to do? He has all these names. He has the qualities to do it. He has the qualifications to do it. What does he want to do? I'm going to make it real simple. He wants to do the opposite of what God wants. Anything God says yes to, Satan's saying no. Anything God says no to, Satan's saying yes to. Just the opposite. He wants to take God out. He wants to be God himself. He wants his own rule. He wants his own world. He wants everybody to worship him. He wants everybody to follow him. It's like, if I'm going down, I'm going to take you with me. Anybody have somebody like that in your life that, you know, somebody's going to get in trouble, they're going to take you down with them? You know? And that's Satan. You know, that's his objective. His goal in his life is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. That's where he wants to go. Look at what it says here. Here's what he says. No, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Go ahead, do it. You'll be better off. You'll be smarter. It'll feel good. Anybody, you know, it'll feel good. It feels right. It's okay. I'm wrestling right now. I want to do a series of messing feelings. You know what our world is living on now? It's called feelings. Well, if I feel this way, this is who I am. If I feel like this, this is okay to do. If I feel, isn't that what our world is living right now? I say, you got a choice. You can live by feelings or faith, and I'm going to choose faith. I don't you. But see, that's the devil. He's playing these games. He's crafty. He's sneaky. You know, don't worry about it. It'll be better over there. You'll look better. You'll behave better. You'll fit in better. Everybody will love you more. It's okay. Does it sound like the devil? Yeah. See, that's what the devil does in our lives. And that's his objective. And just like, you know, we have this thing called TLC, right? Anybody know what TLC is? Not the movie channel. Tender, loving, care. Well, I gave the devil TLC, not tender, loving, care. Here's what the devil has. Temptation, lying, condemnation. That's the devil's objective. He wants to tempt you. He wants to draw you in. Oh, doesn't that look good? Look at that tree over there. Isn't that tree beautiful? Doesn't it look good? Wouldn't it be better over on this side? Wouldn't it look better over here? Wouldn't your life go smoother if you did this? Wouldn't life be less stressful if you did this? Wouldn't people love you more if you did this? Just look over here. He's just temptation. Now, understand, temptation is not sin. But it's the first step to sin, right? And so temptation is there. Then he steps in with this lying. You'll be better. You'll be smarter. You'll just fit in with everybody. Everybody else is doing it. Nobody's watching right now. Nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. I love you. Come over here to me. Does that sound like Satan? You know, his twisting, his conniving, his craftiness, he's lying. So he tempts us, and then he lies, and then you take a bite of that fruit, and then he condemns. You ever notice that? Let me tell you, here's how Satan. He'll tempt you, he'll trick you with his lies, and then once you do it, then he goes, guilt. Right? Then he throws resentment. Then all of a sudden, why did I do that? Anybody? You go and you try not to. It's like Paul. Why do I do what I don't want to do and what I do want to do? I get all confused with those eyes. Anybody else there? Romans chapter 7. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you cross that line and the devil goes, I told you were no good. I told you were a loser. I told you your life didn't matter. See, the devil goes, looks good. Then once you cross over to his side, you might know what I'm talking about? You guys are all sitting there like, I've never seen that. You go, I've been there. You know? Because that's what the devil does. That's his objective. He wants to take you out. He wants to take you down. He wants to condemn you. And so that passage, Jesus says it the best. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And so I wrote it this way. Fill those blanks in. Satan wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. You guys agree with that? You do, say amen. Just don't. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill that peace. And he wants to destroy your life. That's what temptation. It's just an apple. That wasn't, I don't know what it was, okay. I sometimes wonder about those Apple computers. It's got a bite out of it. I'm a PC guy. I gotta poke at that, you know. You got your iPhone in your pocket, right? Don't keep it close to your heart, okay? I just found out, just so you know, say, do not put your phone in your pockets. You know, that's why they're talking about that now. Don't put your phone in your, I always carry it here, now I'm starting to put it in my back pocket. The only thing close to your heart is God, okay? Yeah, keep God close to your heart. Yeah. Because see, the devil wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your peace. He wants to destroy your, that's his objective. And once you cross that line, you think, he's promising you joy, isn't he? He's promising you peace. You'll be smarter. You'll be like God. He's promising all that. When you cross that line, what does he do? He takes it away. And so we need to see that. And so I put there. But here's what I got. The last part of that verse 10 says this. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. All right. God wants to give you an abundant life. That's what God wants you to have. See, don't get caught up in stealing your joy, killing your peace, and destroying your life. Step across and enjoy the abundant life in Jesus Christ. I am so blessed. I was talking with somebody else this week, and this morning make it special too. I am so blessed. My life is so blessed. Now, it doesn't mean everything's perfect in my life. All right? It's not. You know, I'm messed up, and I will mess up. But you know what? I got a good life. You know, I got a pretty good life. You know, I got a home. You know, I got a car. Matter of fact, my daughter's giving me another car. You know, I'm going to drive a Subaru. You know, I'm going to go get me a Subaru. And he works for Toyota. You know, my life's so blessed. You know, because of that abundance. But I'm going to tell you, it can change so quickly with the devil who wants to steal that joy, kill that peace, and destroy that life. So you know what? I'm not going to worry. I'm going to get prepared. I'm not going to go looking for the devil. I'm going to watch out for him. You see, what do you guys think? He's real. He's active. He wants to kill you, destroy you, and take you out. You know, and as I looked at this, I also thought, well, on a resume, you want somebody's experiences. And so I kind of looked at what did he identify as his experiences. And the first one he put is a guy named David. He says he was a king of Israel. Anybody know that story about David, the king of Israel? He says, I had good experience with that. I guess here's what it says. In the spring of the year, the time when the king go out to battle, David sent Joab. Now, you might want to pay attention to that little part right there, okay? That little part right there, that little phrase. Why don't you underline? The time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab. You might want to underline that. Let's go on. And his servants with him, and all Israel, and all the, they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Reba. But David remained in Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon, David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. You know the rest of the story? He has an affair with this lady. Why? Satan says that's his success. Was Satan successful there? See, David wasn't watching out, wasn't prepared. He was where he wasn't supposed to be. Where was he supposed to be? At the battle. He's laying around on the couch. I'm going to tell you, Satan's looking for you. I'm just cruising through life. You got to watch out. See, Satan said that's a success. But you know what's so good about that being a success? We'll find out a little later, because David is a man after God's own heart in Psalms 51, right? Isn't it Psalms 51? David repents and becomes a man after God's own heart. He said, as I looked at his resume, he listed the story of the Garden of Eden. I guess that's Adam and Eve. He says that was a good success story for him. I got to open my notes up here. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. Can we blame the woman, guys? You guys are being real quiet right now, huh? You know better than to answer that one, don't you? You know better than to answer that. Its fruit looked delicious. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and he ate it too. Did I miss something? Where was he? Was he protecting his wife? I'm going to tell you something, just so you guys understand this. She might have took, but it was his fault. All right? He needs to step up and be the man and take care of his family. I'm sorry. You know, if you're a man of the house, you need to be the man of the house. Now, I'm not a woman, and I'm not being women a chauvinist, you know? No, I'm not that kind of a person. But I do know that I think male leadership in the home, when he steps up and he leads his family in the Spirit of God, God moves and blesses that family. I believe that. And I believe that's how God works. He was standing right there, watching the serpent talk to her. Chop that head off, man. Let's go. Be a man. You know, take that serpent out. You know, was he watching out? Was he prepared? No. We need to see that. So don't blame the woman, all right? I always, you know, blame the... Now, I blame the women for one thing. Color blindness. It is a recessive gene women carry. Starts with the Cunningham. My mama made me colorblind. So I can blame them for one thing, but I can't blame them for anything else, okay? Yeah. He also listed, as I thought here, as he listed a guy named Judas. Anybody know that story about Judas? He said that was a success story for him. Judas was one of the 12 disciples. Here's what it says. And Satan entered into Judas, called Issachar. I never can say these names right. Who was one of the number of the 12. It means he's one of the disciples. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him. Him being Jesus, just if you want to know, to them in the observance of the crowd, in the absence of the crowd. He counts that as a success. He took Jesus out. He used Judas to take Jesus out. He's listed some of those great challenges. But you know what's funny to me, as I read those, what he listed, I thought there's another one that he just didn't fail to list. You know, when you write your resume, you want the positive stuff. He didn't put the one in about Jesus, did he? You know, Matthew chapter 4, you know? Matthew, Jesus gets baptized, comes out of the water, goes out into the desert, and what does the serpent do? What does the devil do? What does Beelzebub do? What does Lucifer do? He tempts him. Tempt him. Come on, you can have all this. You know, I know you're hungry. Why don't you eat? You can rule the world. Just worship me. And what happens? He loses every time. Look at what it says. Now, next Satan took him to a very high mountain and showed him the nations of the world and all their glory. I'll give it all to you, he said, if you will only kneel and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. The scriptures say, worship only the Lord God, obey him only. Then Satan went away, and the angels came and cared for Jesus. I want you to underline that last part. Satan tempted. He failed. Jesus used God's word. That's how you want to know how you prepare? Use the Bible. How many of you memorize your verses? But we just finished a study called Transformation. You have 8 verses now, right? You guys are sitting there like, yeah, you guys are all laughing because I know you don't have 8. We're supposed to memorize 8 verses, right? Come on. Yeah. That's your tool, all right? Remember the sword of truth, the sword of the word? That's part of that armor there in Galatians chapter 6. That's what he used. That's what Jesus used. I mean, if it's good enough for Jesus, you know what? That's a good enough weapon for me too, okay? Yeah. But I like that last part. And the angels came and cared for Jesus. See, I want to tell you something. God's going to take care of you. So I wrote it this way. Satan has experience, but I have God. Okay? Life's going to have its wounds. Life's going to have its hurts. You're going to have your failures. You're going to have your struggles. You're going to have your battles. They're real. They're there. But I want to tell you something. God cares. Is that what it said here? God cares. I want you to see that picture. Don't go looking for the devil, all right? Just watch out. Just watch out. Don't worry about it. Get prepared. Get prepared. Right? Let God give you that abundant life. Don't let the devil steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. And then listen. Don't worry about the devil. Experience God in his love. You know, as I looked at a resume too, you know what a resume has? It has references, right? You know, call these people. I thought as I looked at his resume, it had these words on it. It says, available upon request. You know why it's available on request? Because sin is good at first, isn't it? Maybe I shouldn't say that. You know? But once you get into it, there's a consequence. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it looks good, it tastes good, it feels good. But once you get into it, it's like, you didn't realize all that was going to happen? Well, if you start calling those people, they're going to tell you, you know, if you start asking Adam and Eve, was that a good choice? What do you say? Hey, Judas, was that a good choice? He's going to tell you no. He said, I took the money back. And then I hung myself. Oh, that was a real good choice. Yeah. David? See, there's no references. So I put it this way at the bottom of your page to wrap this up. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what it's all about. I'm going to have fun with this series of messages. We're going to talk about next week. I want us to look at the devil rules. Anybody feel like the devil has a lot of control on our world? Said 98%, 98 out of 100, he said earlier. No. How does he rule? And yet God has authority. Dan's going to share a message on the trifecta. Temptation trifecta. Then I'm going to wrap it up with this one. You think this message was hell and fire? Wait to the last one. It's called Hell Yes. Because I'm going to tell you something. Hell is a real place. All right? Hell is a real place. Don't be conceived. But right now, I want you to leave here not worrying about Satan, but prepared. Not looking for him. Not looking for him, but watching for him. That you know that he's going to try to steal your joy and kill your peace and destroy your life, because he's going to have that temptation and those lies, and then once you do, he's going to condemn you. And then he wants, with Jesus Christ, to thwart his purpose in your life, that of eternal life. So I want to ask you this morning, are you prepared for this week? Are you prepared? Satan has been planning. He doesn't know everything. You know, I'm going to talk about that. You know, we think Satan knows all. I'm going to talk about Job next week. You know, God knew what Job was going to do. Did you know that? Think about that. Satan thought he had him, but God knew he didn't. See, Satan thought he had Jesus, didn't he? Took him out, man. Nailed him to a cross, man. He's dead. Dead as a doornail. Dead as that nail right through his wrist. He's dead. But Easter came around. I'm going to tell you, Satan lost. Don't go looking. Just watch out. Don't worry. Get prepared. Don't let him steal your joy, your peace, or kill your life. Enjoy the abundant life through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your love and your peace and the joy you bring to us. The devil is too real in our world today, Lord. He is roaming, seeking to devour and destroy. Lord, we need your joy. We need your peace. You know, as we're praying right now, maybe the devil has taken you down. Maybe he's taken you out. And you want me to pray for you. Maybe there's guilt. Maybe there's regret. Maybe there's a past that you're ashamed of. And you want me to pray for you. Experience God's grace. Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you for your marvelous grace. The grace of Jesus Christ that gave his life upon the cross. That your mercy abounds. Lord, I lift these up who've lifted their hands, that you may lay them upon them. Free them from the condemnation that Satan puts upon them. Let that forgiveness and the mercy of God that's beyond understanding renew that joy. Strengthen that peace. Encourage that life. That they may walk and rest in you. For it's in your name we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.